Welcome back to Faith, Frauds, and Falsehoods, where we explore various cults and religions of the world. Tonight, we're going to continue our discussion on Scientology. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to help us find
do
others.
Do you want to redo that?
No, let's just keep on going. It's funnier.
It is. It's great. Especially the fact that I asked, do you want to keep going?
Yes.
So, before we get started, right, always have to remind everyone, these are our opinions, don't necessarily represent those of our employers or churches. So, let's get started.
Let's begin. Brian, welcome back.
It has been another week. We're back talking about Scientology. Specifically, the social issues tonight, right? Are we talking social stuff?
Yes. Yes, we're talking social issues of Scientology. And look, I'm going to make a pledge today. I'm going to try to keep this in an hour.
Okay.
We had to split the last episode into two episodes. Because we just couldn't keep it all.
Just couldn't do it.
And I'm going to have to kind of hit some high-level points on some things. There's a lot of details we could delve into here. But we're going to have to kind of hit some high levels. Let me tell you, Scientology's been around a while. So there's a lot of digging around you can do. Also, these folks is manipulative.
Yeah.
And they made the news more and more lately, especially more so with their second leader, David Miscavige, than with their first leader, L. Ron Hubbard. And with the internet, they've upset the internet in general a few times. And, you know, I don't know in the future it'll be possible to just upset the internet. But in the past, the internet was small enough, it was possible to upset the internet.
Yeah, I think, so I was listening to, it might have been Glenn and Friends this morning, and he was talking about a comic strip from 1907 that went viral, right? And he talked about how it was the viral thing for like 3 years, right? And he pointed out, he's like, now stuff is viral for 2-3 minutes, and then it's gone, right? And it's something else. You know, so you might be able to make the internet mad for about 2 minutes. And that's going to be about it. You're not going to have the same response that we would have had early 2000s when stuff was really getting started. I mean, the internet's been around for a while, but not
the
social side.
When they upset Anonymous and Anonymous protested the church.
Exactly. Yep.
Let's talk about the social issues of Scientology. Social issues is always one that I'm like, what do we talk about there?
Yeah, it's a hard one.
We talked about the history, so it covers some of those things.
Yeah.
But there's two big main divisions in Scientology. And this is something you've talked about quite a bit as you've talked about the theology and you tackled that. And I kept reminding you, hey, look, there's two big divisions in Scientology. There's the Sea Org and there's the public Scientologists.
Right.
And I feel like they live two different lives. And, you know, I'm not sure that isn't all that different in Christianity in some denominations and some churches.
Yeah.
Again, prefacing, nothing here. These are our own opinions. We don't represent the churches we work for or the churches we attend or support. But I will say, being very involved in the Christian church world, it does seem like two different things sometimes.
Yeah.
When you're involved in the ministry side of things, either as administratively or as clergy or what have you, it seems different than if you just attend a church.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even, you know, in some churches and some denominations, there's a split even between clergy of one type and clergy of another type, right?
Yeah.
You know, you'll have some, you know, youth ministers and pastors and music leaders and stuff. And even they don't even communicate with like the head pastor and the executive pastors, right? There's that divide there, even at that level.
Yeah. And then, you know, leadership on up. So when you have the more traditional churches that have a more rigid structure, you know, at your local parish is one thing.
Yep.
But the bishops and then going on up is an entirely different thing. Or the
presbytery.
That word I can't say. Yeah. Or conference or what have you. As you're going up, it's kind of a different thing. Well, Scientology is kind of like that too, but there's some, as normal for Scientology, it's not a direct correlation. Right. So the Sea Org, we talked a little bit during the history episode about the Sea Org, the Sea Organization. When Hubbard left his house in England, his mansion there, where he had a lot of Scientology stuff going on, he left because there was a lot of persecution, he said, going on. The government was really cracking down. They were wondering what the Scientology people were, what were they doing. And he wanted to get out of all that. So he jumped on a ship, and he got all these people to go with him. He started the Sea Org. Well, after a few years, the Sea Org moved back on land, starting in Clearwater, Florida. The Sea Org is referred to often as the clergy of the church, the ministers of the church. Sometimes they're even called ministers. The Sea Org originally started with those people who were on the ships, and then more people joined it. Now there are people in the Sea Org who were never on a ship.
Right, yeah.
But they do have an organization very similar to that.
Do you have information on that persecution in England? What was going on? Or was it just, he said it was happening, so therefore it was happening, kind of thing?
Well, Scientology was briefly outlawed in England.
Okay.
To an extent, and that they noticed so many people coming in to be there that they quit allowing Scientologists to come to England.
Okay.
I don't have a lot of information on that, but it was, the government really was acting against them. And that was later reversed. But for a little while, you couldn't come to England to study Scientology. Scientologists were not allowed to travel to England.
Okay.
So it was somewhat legit with that. And that's funny because something else we're going to talk about, you know, the Scientology likes to use the persecution thing that people are against them because it's in its religious persecution.
Right.
People just hate their religion. And there might be some people that's true about. I mean, people religiously persecute all the time. However, there's also a lot of legitimate criticism. And so, anyways, so the Sea Org is more like the ministry, right?
Okay.
On their side, more like their clergy. These are the people who actually run things. These are the people who run the religion. We'll go briefly over the organization. Again, I'm trying to keep this within an hour here. So they have ranks. The top rank of the Sea Org is the Commodore, and that was L. Ron Hubbard. He couldn't just make himself captain. He had more than one boat, so he became a Commodore.
Yep.
And, you know, he served in the American Navy and never had any such rank of Commodore.
Yeah.
But made himself the Commodore. Next is the captain. That's the highest ranking members of the Sea Org. David Miscavige now holds the rank of captain. So even though he's the leader, he's never tried to usurp L. Ron Hubbard. You know, they teach that L. Ron Hubbard's coming back.
Yeah.
So he's in charge of the church for now, but he's never tried to take over what L. Ron Hubbard did or had. He's just the highest one now. Under that, they have Lieutenant Ensign. Ensign, I can think of Star Trek, man, which, you know, Chief Petty Officer, you know, etc. They kind of move these around a lot. One famous incident, they've reorganized several times. I think we briefly in the history thing talked about the Hole. It's where he took all the high-level executives and put them in a room and made them fight for each other or fight each other and reorganized the organization. The chairman of the board of the Religious Technology Center, COBRTC, that is David Miscavige. That's the leader of the church. And it's because he's COB of the RTC, makes him the highest ranking member of Scientology. Then you got the inspector general. I'm going over branches of the network of the Sea Org. So the inspector general's organization, they're responsible for ensuring the purity of the church's practices and teaching. They're the spies. They're the people who will check up on you and make sure things are going right.
Okay.
Make sure you're in ethics and that sort of thing. There's the Commodore's Messenger Organization. Now, the CMO originally were the people who, they were the young girls that we talked about were with L. Ron Hubbard and would relay messages from L. Ron to the rest of the organization, the CMO, the Commodore's Messenger Organization. Now they're more administrative and management of the church.
Okay.
The different things. Then there's the Watchdog Committee. It's a group of high-ranking Scientologists. They oversee all the functions and activity of the Church of Scientology. So you would think they would run things, but they really don't. The COB of the Religious Technology Center does.
Okay.
Then there's a couple other organizations in there. There's the Church of Scientology International. You'll see that on a lot of things. That's like the mother church. It's responsible for administration, dissemination, the propaganda, or propagation of Scientology.
Propaganda.
Then there's that.
Still the right word.
The Religious Technology Center, we talked about, David Miscavige is the chairman of. They're responsible for safeguarding the trademarks and the copyrights of Dianetics and Scientology.
Okay.
So they control all the material.
Right.
They control their Bible, basically, right? So that's what makes him so
powerful.
Head of that.
Yep.
Yeah, and then there's the Flag Service Organization, often just called Flag. That's located in Clearwater, and that's the place that provides high-level auditing and training. Some of those OT levels you talked about can only be done at Flag.
Yep.
And then Golden Era Productions. Did you ever get to go watch the Scientology TV stuff?
I started it, and then I just couldn't, right? So I gave up
but imagine,
on all of that and started on our next cult. So
imagine you knew nothing about Scientology,
right. And
you turn that on. It is high-level quality production.
It is very, very well produced. Yep.
And I think if you look into that, you would find people who have worked on Hollywood movies and people who work in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, they bought an old movie studio. Eventually. Now, they have Golden Era out at Gold Base or Int Base. Mm. They also have an old movie studio they bought and they've redone. They tell you all about it on Scientology TV. Scientology TV streams online and people watch it that way, but it's also on several satellite news networks. Not news networks. Satellite TV networks. I think there's only one left, but it's on the satellite TV. So that's on purpose. Mm. That's one of the ways they kind of help recruit people. And we'll get to recruitment in a minute. So let's talk about parenting and kids in the Sea Org. So the Sea Org, the kids are generally not raised with their parents. So we've seen this in some other cults too, where they take them, they separate the parents and the kids.
Yep.
They really treat kids very much like adults, or at least they don't treat them like kids.
Okay.
Originally, kids could live with their parents. They'd put them up. You know, the Sea Org, by the way, is kind of like joining the monastery or something. The church pays for everything. You get paid to be in the Sea Org. I think the rate is $45 a day, maybe a little more now, but not much.
Right.
Not a day. A month.
Okay.
A month or a week? A month. It's a month. It's very, very little. Not sure if it's a month or a week, but they get paid very little. The idea is they eat, their room and board and everything's taken care of by the church.
Yeah,
so
they don't need very much.
They also, you know, can't leave. So they have to do as they're told, and they sometimes get a day off, but very, very, very rarely. There's lots of stories of they were supposed to have a day off, and then they don't get a day off. Originally, they could live with their parents very often. The kids would live with their parents. And that often might have happened in the beginning. But eventually, it was the parents were working all the time. So one of the books I read, the girl that was the niece of David Miscavige, her parents joined the Sea Org. And her brother and her parents lived in a two-bedroom apartment with another couple who had two kids as well. All the kids lived in the living room and the parents each had their own bedroom. But most of the parents were gone for hours and hours. So either the older kids watched them or sometimes they would have an adult who would check on several kids in several apartments in the building. They weren't completely unsupervised, but they were mostly unsupervised.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Later, they were moved to a thing called the ranch. Other places, now, you know, Scientology is in several different places. In Clearwater, they put all the kids in an old hotel. When they're babies, they put them all in the baby rooms. And they have somebody watching the babies, because you can't leave babies completely alone.
Yeah.
But they're not watching them very well, and they're very overstressed. And it's usually a young girl who's watching the babies anyway. And then they all grow up in these old hotel rooms. And at the ranch, they lived on the ranch, and they were expected to renovate the ranch themselves. They're expected to work every day, do messed work, which is physical work, right? We talked about messed.
Matter, energy, space, and time.
Yes, they're supposed to do messed work. There was no paternal nurturing. The parents were allowed to come visit them, but eventually that was limited more and more and more, where they might get an hour a week, and a lot of weeks they may get none. Where at one time they got a day a week, and then a few hours a week, and an hour a week. If the kid got sick, you know, they would give them some vitamins and send them to their room, and that's it. Yeah. None of this, mama's going to make you some soup or any of this.
Right. Now, this is specifically the Sea Org, right?
This is the Sea Org. I'm only talking about inside the Sea Org. It's very important because, so these kids are considered to be part of the Sea Org too. Often as the kids grow up, and not even grow up, as the kids get a little older, they are asked to sign billion-year contracts and join the Sea Org themselves. Right. And they become cadets as young as 6-7 years old. When they get into their early teens, they can become actual Sea Org members.
Okay.
And so they're expected to be on their own. Again, not dealing with their parents. Usually can't talk to their parents. I've read stories where they didn't talk to their parents for months, weeks, years at a time. And let's talk about parents. So the adults are not encouraged to marry each other, but it does happen. It's not allowed. Sometimes they join married. Sometimes they get married in the organization. Adultery is strictly prohibited. They call it an out 2D. Can you guess why they would call it an out 2D? Scientology terminology time, y'all.
I don't know.
Out is out ethics.
Okay.
2D is the second dynamic.
Family. Yep.
Yes, and that includes sex. Yep. So an out 2D is adultery.
Okay.
And that is considered a grave crime. Not something you can't get past, but if you were to do that, you would get put on lower conditions and probably end up in the RPF, which is their punishment, where you have to do physical labor, you lose all your privileges, things like that. Adults, they can be married, and if you're married, you get to possibly be bunk together. So you might get an apartment, maybe a one-bedroom apartment together, or you might share one with another family, with another married couple. However, there's no guarantee that you will stay stationed in the same place.
Right.
You very well may get moved. I wondered when I was reading about that, if the U.S. military does that. I think they try to keep people together if they're married, but I'm not sure about that.
I don't really know. As far as I know, it is very much, you know, you try to stay together, but there are cases that it just doesn't happen.
Times of war and stuff, I would. Yeah, but it is more the norm that they would not stay together. Even high up, even if you're an executive and you're in the top levels of Scientology in the Sea Org, it's very likely you will not be stationed together. Mm. They really don't try to build the family unit. And that's part of that dynamics thing.
Right.
Their service is to the church before it is to
anything else.
The thing. So, I mean, I see that in, you know, we'll talk about this more in response, I'm sure. But I see that in some Christian churches as well, where their clergy is expected to completely not have a family and to not have children and that sort of thing. So it's kind of a similar thing with the Sea Org, which kind of makes you wonder how they get new members. And that's where the public Scientology will come in place. They've also, all the adults, everybody in the Sea Org has signed that billion-year contract. So since they believe that they're a Thetan and when they die, they'll come back into another person, then they agree that they're going to come back and serve in the Sea Org again and again.
Yeah, what's a billion years on top
of eternity? So they're not worried about losing any members.
Right. So what's a billion years on top of eternity?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now, why would anybody ever want to be a Sea Org? Well, they believe in Scientology very much. They believe they're serving the church and they're helping to clear the world, right? The other thing is, and this draws a lot of people in, Sea Org members get free courses. As we talked about, Scientology is very expensive.
Yep.
I don't know that you can be a poor Scientologist and be a good Scientologist.
Right.
Unless you're a Sea Org member.
Okay.
So you get some of the most devoted people and some of the people who necessarily don't have money. Again, I wonder the same thing. I wonder if anybody's ever tried to join a monastery because they just didn't have the money to live anywhere else.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
You know? So there's some of that. They get free courses. They get free room and board. Now, if you were to ever leave, and many people have left the Sea Org.
That was going to be one of my questions, was how many people have actually left?
I don't know how many people have left because they don't publish those numbers. Some people have left after many years. Some people leave after not being there very long at all. And if you leave, you can leave properly or you can be blown, which means you're leaving without permission. Mm-hmm. Often the higher they go when someone leaves, they end up blowing and just running away, literally. So a couple of things about that. You can leave properly. If you leave properly, you have to go through security checks, which is like these intense auditing sessions. So they use that auditing against you. You know? So,
So almost kind of like using it as a lie detector polygraph. Are you taking secrets with you and going to go share with people those kinds of things?
That's what they say. Okay. That's what they say. But it's more like, how long have you stopped beating your wife, Brian?
But I don't, I've never beaten my wife.
You see what I'm saying? You remember that old gag? Exactly.
Yeah, you threw it's more threw like me that. Off there with that one, Matt.
I should mention, y'all, we're friends and we know each other's wives. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure his wife could beat him up. But
same with yours.
Oh, she cut me, dude. In a minute, she would cut me. Also, I learned the other day that, did you know women are more likely to kill with poison than anything else? Yep. Yeah.
Well, I was a criminal justice major. It's one of those things that you have to learn.
I thought you was apologetics major. No, you're talking about the first time.
That was my first go around through college.
Oh, okay. Where was I at? I was going through security checks.
Yeah, sorry.
So go through security checks. Basically, they're trying to find incriminating stuff on you.
Okay.
They really are. They're really trying to make sure they have something over on you. It is possible for you to leave Scientology, leave the Sea Org specifically. And some people leave the Sea Org and become a public Scientologist. They don't necessarily want to leave Scientology, but they want to quit serving the Sea Org. They're kind of shamed for it, but they get to leave.
Okay.
Especially if they're not that high up. And especially if they have potential to still be useful to Scientology, not as in the Sea Org. Some people are asked to leave. Then the Freeloaders Bill comes out. I know we're at 23 minutes, but I gotta cover some of this. The Freeloaders Bill. So all those courses you took for free in the Sea Org, even if you were a kid and you had no choice in the matter, you're billed for all that. Mm. They might include, you know, anything. Maybe they could include room and board on there. They could put anything you may have damaged on there in your bill. Anything they really want to put on that bill, they're going to put on there. And they're going to bill you for that and make you sign for that.
So they're keeping track of all of that throughout your stay. And
They keep records on everything. This is a huge bureaucracy. And the Sea Org is their bureaucracy. As we talked about, it's a religion of bureaucracy. They keep track of everything. Matter of fact, one of the things in the Sea Org, if you're a Sea Org member, every single day you have to measure. You keep chart. What is the term they use for it? I forget the term they use for it, but they measure everything they do and they keep a chart of that if they're improving or not improving. You know, we talked about being lower ethics or lower conditions and stuff because you get in trouble if you don't have improvement, which many, you know, ex-Scientology members say leads to basically lying about things, you know. So whatever your job is, you find metrics and you measure. Everything is measured. Everything has metrics. Every job you're assigned, whether you're a janitor, you're cleaning stuff, whether you're management, whether you're running an organization, whether you're running anything, running a hotel they own, whatever, then you measure everything. Even as kids, the kids have to chart out and graph out their productivity every single day. Yeah, can you imagine getting your kids to sit down every day and make a handmade chart. Right. I don't even use computers.
Yeah, no, I can barely get them to sit down for prayer time or reading a book, let alone recording all of their data for the day.
Right. Yeah, I totally tricked my kid into reading a book today.
Nice.
But anyways, and then he loved it after. He's like, I don't want that book. I was like, I'll just read it. And then he read it, and he's like, oh, I really like this book. I know, yep. Kid. But anyways, we figure those as things. They treat their kids as adults, but I feel like that messes up their personalities, mm-hmm. and messes with them. I want my kid to be a kid.
Right.
Too. I want him to play and have time to play games and et cetera. You know, I don't feel like either one of us are super hard on our children. And we could be, you know, oh, you're going to do this and you're going to be this. And that's what they do. I feel like they're too hard mm-hmm. on the kids. So much so that the kids often come out and feeling resentful because of that. It's very common for kids to leave the organization as soon as they can.
Right.
So then the other way to leave. So that's if you leave, you sign this bill, you're indebted to the church. The other way to leave is just to be blown. You just leave. Now, they're still going to send you a freeloader's bill. Mm-hmm. They're probably going to come after you. They very much are known for harassing people. Now, they're not known necessarily for murdering people.
Right.
They've been known for some vandalism. How they harass people is they often hire private detectives, off-duty cops, and private eyes and stuff around the country. They spread their money around and say, just go film their house.
Right.
Make sure they know you're filming. You know,
yeah.
Or they'll it's call up and tell lies to people. Yeah.
It's all a mental game.
Yeah. Now, they've been caught. We talked about in the history section, so I won't go over too much. They've been caught getting themselves hired in different government organizations to see what they're tracking about Scientology.
Right.
So we can assume maybe they're not doing that anymore since they've been caught. But they're definitely well known to track the people who are in those government organizations. Mm-hmm. To follow them around, take pictures of them and their family.
Right.
Show yeah. up at their kid's soccer game and take pictures. Mm. Take pictures of their house in the middle of the night. Stuff like that. And again, something I think we talked about making another video about just recently. Scientology was in the news over the Danny Masterson rape trial.
Yeah.
He's accused of rape. And the church has been accused of trying to discredit the victims. And he was convicted of rape just recently, mm-hmm. just a few days ago. So we can say very much they are the victims, and the church is accused of that. The church denies it, of course. They deny there's any sort of policy, that the fair game policy was canceled by L. Ron Hubbard back in 1968. But as we discussed, you never found any evidence of any policies being canceled, no. Did you?
Not that I've ran across.
There's videos online of them sending investigators out and watching it. There's a very famous series, which I knew about Scientology before, but made me really dig into it more, with the Leah Remini mm-hmm. series, where they are being harassed by investigators hired by Scientology, where they send people out just to videotape them, where they call people and say, did you know what they're doing? They're doing something about the church. They're persecuting us.
Right.
You know? Where they will pull up criminal records of people and send that to all their friends and family. Do you know so-and-so had a DWI in 1923 or whatever?
Yeah.
So all that is directed by the Sea Org as well. Now I want to get to the public Scientologists here, so let me get just a little bit more about the Sea Org. I was going to go over uniforms. They have, you know, different uniforms in the Sea Org, mainly just based off of naval type mm-hmm. stuff. They've kind of changed over the years. It was said that originally when L. Ron Hubbard was on the ship, it was very haphazard, and he kind of just put some different stuff together, which kind of feels like a symbol of the whole religion to me.
Fits pretty nicely.
Yeah. Now it's much more standard. Right. They've been wearing them for many years, and they've kind of got a whole thing. But they do give the executives better uniforms than the lower levels. It's not just about the different badges mm-hmm. and stuff, and they kind of make up different awards and award those and things, and they do have the rank, but like the shirts, I read a thing about the shirts, about the lower levels got cotton shirts and upper level's got the really nice shirts, you know.
All right, so public Scientology, right?
Well, one more thing I wanted to go over on the Sea Org. Not exactly part of the Sea Org. Well, it's part of public Scientology, too. Okay, good.
So it's a perfect segue.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help. We'll get to public Scientology. You keep your promise.
I understand. Okay, public Scientologists. So the vast majority of Scientologists are what's called public Scientologists. Yeah. Now, they're often recruited by a friend. A friend comes to them and says, hey, have you heard about the Scientology thing? Not everybody is a public Scientologist. Matter of fact, the vast majority is assumed are not very high on the chart. So they've not done all the OT levels, if any of the OT levels. Some of them might have had a course or two, might have bought a couple of books.
Yeah.
Some get more serious and go higher on the thing and the Bridge to Total Freedom and go through the OT levels, but a lot do not. Not everybody can afford that. Sometimes they're recruited by the videos on TV and online. That's what we were talking about, Scientology TV. That's a somewhat newer thing, but they've been working towards that for many years. Right. They also have pushcards that are handed out on the street where they invite people to Scientology. Mm-hmm. Which I think is funny because there's this thing called the Aftermath Foundation, which helps people get out of Scientology and really exposes, works to expose Scientology. And some people have taken it upon themselves to get cards for the Aftermath Foundation and pass it out in the same street corners in Clearwater where Scientology is passing out their cards. So if you go outside a Scientology center that's actually open, as we discussed, there's lots of
them that are
orgs around the country and the world that are closed, but they don't admit to it.
Right.
But if you go to one that's out, actually open, there's sometimes people outside handing out cards, inviting people to a free personality test.
Right, yeah.
Which is the first time they put them on an e-meter and try to help them find out something about themselves so they can see how Scientology works.
Yep, which that is interesting.
Go ahead.
You know, one of the things that we talked about, I think, in one of the teachings was the way that they proselytize and they're really pushing, right? At least a few of the people are, because we know that it's not nearly as large of an organization as they want us to believe. But some of the cults that we've talked about in the past, right, the ones that we've declared are clearly cults, either had very little on the proselytizing, or it was this kind of, it's all or nothing, right?
Right.
There wasn't a lot of in between, and this kind of seems to fall on that, we're going to push hard, and we're telling everybody, I mean, we're doing big Hollywood-level productions for TV.
Well, their goal as Scientologists is to clear the world, right? So that's part of it. I feel like they push hard sometimes, but not always. And that's part of, they have some targeting. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to get every Joe Schmo.
Right.
You see this with some of these cults where they'll target the down and out. They'll target the homeless and things like that. Yep. Just trying to get people in general. Scientology doesn't necessarily target those groups. They're targeting... Well,
they're targeting, you know, Hollywood.
The one well-known is to target Hollywood. Yep. They target actors, producers, creative people, people in music production. But even just Hollywood, they're targeting anybody who may own a business or be influential. Mm-hmm. They specifically have some things set aside, the celebrity centers, where celebrities can go. And I kind of get it. I've seen some Christian churches do this where if you are a celebrity or a very rich, powerful person of some sort where you're kind of famous, like, it is hard to live a normal life. It's hard to walk into a Joe Schmo church.
I wouldn't know.
And not have to deal with all that stuff, too, and still be able to go worship and do your religion. So they use the same concept, and I kind of get that. I can see how that's hard. I wouldn't know personally, but I can see how that would be hard. So people who are famous actors kind of like that. They can go to the celebrity center and they're treated like a celebrity and they're treated away from other people who are not celebrities.
Right.
So that way they don't have to deal with, can I get an autograph and all that sort of stuff? You know, fame can be good, but fame can be really exhausting. Right.
Yep.
So I get that. But beyond that, they're not just working on targeting those people. They're working on targeting anybody who might be successful. And what they end up doing is targeting people who want to be those people. So okay. Leah Remini even talked about she had joined the Sea Org as a kid, I think, and then she got out. She wasn't there very long. Her mom had, you know, she joined the Sea Org or worked for the Sea Org. They had moved to Clearwater from New York. And then she ended up in L.A. She wanted to go into acting. And they had suggested to her, she would become a public Scientologist. They had suggested to her, well, you know, we know some other Scientologists mm-hmm. to kind of help you out. And she kind of goes back and forth on her book on how much help they really gave her. But me and you talked about the Scientology concepts of communication and stuff.
Yeah.
That sort of thing helps you in communication. Mm-hmm. Helping in communication is going to help you be more successful. Yep. Now, I'm not trying to tell people Scientologists will make you more successful. But for some people, that's been the case for a few reasons. One, the communication things they can teach you. But two, the good old boy network.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you and I
yep.
used to live in a small town, and we both made a good living yep. off of the good old boy network.
Yeah, we did. Benefited from it a lot.
Because we had yep. to. Not because either one of us particularly likes it or particularly wanted right. to. Or particularly that sociable. Yep. But we had to. And so they have a Scientology good old boy network, and a lot of public Scientologists are part mm-hmm. of that. Scientologists help each other out. After all, they have the same goal of trying to clear the world.
Yeah.
And as you know, success, as I always say, success breeds success and failure breeds failure. If you want to be a millionaire, what you need to do is hang out with other millionaires. Mm-hmm. You yep. know, I can't count the number of times I've had opportunities for something because I've hung around other people who had opportunities. You know? Right. So what I'm trying to say is part of what they've done is works, and this is why people want to be public Scientologists. When you see these other people, well, they're a Scientologist, and because they're a Scientologist, they got this role and got to do this. They deny that's the case, but they also kind of hint, hint, nudge, yeah, nudge that that's the case. We mentioned Danny Masterson.
Mm-hmm.
He played, what, Hyde yep. on that 70s show? Yep. Hyde and Donna were both Scientologists. Right?
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying all of Hollywood Scientologists. There's a lot of people in Hollywood that aren't.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But there's definitely people in Hollywood that are. Most of them start off with, you know, simple courses and then kind of build their way up. Like I said, not everybody makes it all the way to the top. They kind of get what's useful to them, and then maybe they keep paying and going. The church definitely encourages them to keep going, encourage them how they could get better at things, and other Scientologists, you know, try to help you along type thing. They often have big events. Now, the Sea Org will put on big events. The Sea Org people will put on these big events and say, look what Scientology is doing. And try to show off what's happening. And what they're trying to do is get donations and get people raw. You know, there's a podcast I listen to, and he does this Week in Tech, Leo Laporte. And he always has, during his This Week in Tech show, he has a whole podcast network, the Twit Network. And during his This Week in Tech show, he always has a review reel where they go back and say, this is what happened this week at Twit. Yep. And it goes through all the things they've done. They do things like that in these big events. They'll present awards. This is where, famously, Tom Cruise got his award. And he's the second highest Scientologist, you know, for Meritus, all this stuff. They'll also say, look what all Scientology's doing. We're helping to clear the world. They have service events where, as Scientologists, you can go and serve and do things. However, most of those service events have been very highly criticized. They've been caught faking some of this stuff before. Oh. Yes. One famous example was during Hurricane Ian. One of their semi-famous actors, but kind of famous in Scientology people, went out and took pictures and put it on, I think, Instagram or something, where they were serving during Hurricane Ian. They said they were in Fort Myers, Florida.
Okay.
Well, some people dug into it. They weren't actually in Fort Myers. They were about an hour north of there.
Okay. Which...
And... You know, right, so okay. But why would you lie about it? Well, when you look at the photos, you see there wasn't that much damage an hour north of there.
Okay.
So some of these funny things in these photos, and I know we ain't got a lot of time, but I just got to go over this a little bit. There was a stop sign. They were taking pictures of this neighborhood that was flooded. Interestingly, is that in this neighborhood, none of the houses were flooded.
Okay.
Only the streets. All the houses were a few feet above the water. There's a stop sign above the water, and you can see this house in the background. A few pictures on, the same stop sign was below the water.
Yeah.
And they were taking the angle going the other direction. Like it was water everywhere.
Which
it's obvious somebody's like, oh, this would be a better photo if the stop sign was below the water.
Not to give credit to Scientologists, right? But we were at a beach house in, 2016 or so. And there was a big,
I remember there was
a tropical storm that came through, and we decided we're just, you know, it's our second day there. We're there for the week. We're just going to ride it out. I mean, it's a storm. It's not that big a deal. Well, the storm surge kind of made it up to the stairs of the house. You know, I mean, they're on stilts. I mean, it's a beach house, right? They're 15 feet off the ground anyway, but the streets were kind of starting to flood, and the news agencies were showing up, and they were specifically taking their shots standing in the ditch because that was the only place they could get enough water to be standing in to make it look like the whole island was flooded. When it clearly wasn't. Like, I mean, our kids were still able to go outside and play in the water if they wanted to. So not really giving credit to the Scientologists, right? But the news agencies do the exact same thing, right? Specifically to get that that wow factor.
Oh, wow, look at this.
Yeah, so...
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Weather Channel's been caught doing that. I remember you telling me about this. I remember us talking about this specifically.
Yeah, we've still got the pictures somewhere of her standing in the ditch. Because we did. We took pictures and threw it everywhere just to make sure that people knew. Wasn't that bad.
Well, this was very similar. Mm-hmm. So they had another pictures in the roll. They were loading these boats up with bottles of water, presumably to take out to these houses. Again, all the houses were in the water. But I could see flooding there, you know, probably lost electricity and everything. But then if you look carefully at the picture, you can see the truck they were unloading was only in about 2 inches of water. The boats, they were all standing next to the boats because the boats they were having to push down the road. Because it was too heavy if they were to, like, get in the boat.
Yeah.
There wasn't that much water around. They were obviously faking a lot of this. It's not to say they faked everything, but they often make a big thing that's doing all this, and they're going around the world doing these things. And they've been caught. And this is just one example I'm pointing out of them faking some
of this. Yeah, it's about the optics. It's about how it looks.
Yep. Yes. Yes. Narconon.
Okay.
Did you know Narconon was started not by a guy in Scientology? He was started using the theories of Dianetics and then later became part of the Church of Scientology.
I did not know that.
Yes. So Narconon uses part of the purification rundown.
Okay.
With the vitamins and all that stuff to cleanse people. So because of the success of Narconon, Church of Scientology, Narconon has helped some people get off drugs. Let's just say that. But it's associated with the Church of Scientology. So sometimes people come into Scientology through that.
Okay.
And let's also mention, you know, we know drugs are rampant in Hollywood and the music world and stuff. And so Narconon's been a big thing. And I think I got some extra notes on Narconon over here. Narconon was founded in 1966 by William Benitez. He, you know, based it on Dianetics and then later became part of the Church of Scientology. They do drug rehabilitation for addicts. It involves a regimen of vitamins, sauna sessions, and auditing sessions, similar to use by Church of Scientology. Again, this is the purification rundown that we talked about using that Cal Mag. A lot of critics have said, you know, wait, how effective is it? Is it safe? Because people who have been on these drugs are obviously not in great health.
Right.
And they were just putting them through all the super stress on their body and stuff. And there's no scientific evidence that this works. And of course, it's a recruiting method for Scientology. Now, they kind of pick and choose who they want in the group. So not everybody's going to get recruited through there. So there's been that. But the public Scientologists see that. And they're touted that, oh, look at all we've done through Narconon, you know?
Right.
As we talked about, the public Scientologists benefit from that good old boy network thing. You know, if you need a job, you can always go see a Scientologist. even that Jenna Miscavige Hill, she ended up marrying another Scientologist in the Sea Org, and then they left. And the first thing they did when they left was went and worked for his dad, who owned a jewelry store, and was a Scientologist, and all the employees were Scientologists.
Oh.
Now, that was family, yeah. Right? That was her father-in-law. But all of his employees were Scientologists. You know? They eventually left working from him because they were kind of a problem for him because he was still in the church.
Yep. And if once you leave, you're considered a suppressive person, right?
Yes. And they're not supposed to associate with suppressive. It took a little while for them to get declared that completely because she was his niece. And they were trying to avoid the bad press. So that's the other thing. When her brother left, he was required to change his name. They made him sign paperwork to change his name. They went and filed it all for him. And he was supposed to change his name away from Miscavige to something else. And he did. Because they didn't want the bad press. Right. It's really all about bad press. This really comes back to bureaucracy.
Yeah. Bureaucracy. And
most marketing. Of their sins center around bureaucracy. Yeah. You know? In the public Scientologists, some are treated better than others. Mm-hmm. We've talked about some stars being treated better. Big donors are treated better than people who don't donate as much.
Yep.
I know that compares to other
happens in the church too.
It absolutely does. You're expected to be successful if you're in Scientology. Mm-hmm. You're not expected to not be successful. Right. There's that good old boy network to help you, but it's not a guarantee they're going to help you either. And when you become successful, if you become successful, you're expected to give back big time.
Yeah.
You're expected not only to help others, but to give back to the church. Give money to the church. They help make you rich. You go bring them money.
Right.
You know, many people benefited from that network, so you're expected to give back to it. The public Scientologists often don't see things like the harassment. They don't know much about the propaganda stuff. They just see what's being used against them, which is the propaganda of the positive. Right? So there's a lot of public Scientologists. And often public Scientologists are told people are persecuting the church. People are persecuting the church. And they see that.
Yeah.
Because all they see is this church is doing good things for them. Right. So then when they see people alleging bad stuff against the Sea Org people and what's happening there, all they see is persecution. So I kind of get that. And not everybody who's Scientologist tells everybody else they're a Scientologist, because in some circles, to say you're a Scientologist is a bad thing. In others, it's an esteemed thing.
Right.
You know? So we're kind of wrapping up. We're at about almost 48 minutes here. It's
pretty reasonable. It kept you under your
else did
your
we want to... Yeah. Do you feel like we need to go over anything else on the social issues?
I don't, man. I think you covered quite a bit of stuff. I like the way that we broke it all down. I'm going to try and do some fancy editing, maybe. Probably not, but I'm going to try.
Okay. Well, that's the social issue. So next is we have one more episode on Scientology.
One more.
And we're going to talk about response. Explain to the viewers what response
is. So our response episodes are our... take a step back and look at what they teach, what their history is, what their social issues are, and we provide a Christian response and reaction to these things, right? How do we, as Christians, talk to someone who exists in this Scientology world or someone who's adjacent to it? How do we help them get past it, right, and to find true Christianity?
Okay. Well, one thing I want to bring up on our social issues that I brought up last time, it's going to lead to our next episode, is that some people teach that Scientology can exist with other religions. It's not necessarily a central tenet of Scientology, but it's definitely been taught that you can be a Christian and be a Scientologist, or you can be Jewish and be a Scientologist. That's probably a more common
one. You should definitely watch like our response episode, because I talk about that.
I mean, we haven't recorded yet, but I know you're going to talk about
that.
That's important.
You haven't read my notes yet. I've got a whole thing already written.
Oh, I read them.
All right, well, we'll talk to y'all next week. Thank you for joining us here on Faith, Frauds, and Falsehoods. Don't forget that we have our website, faithfraudsfalsehoods.com, where we post a more detailed blog with references so that you can go and take a look at all of this information for yourself. Also, remember to share this with a friend and help us get the word out there for everyone else. We'll see you in the next one.